Today's chapter in contemplative life is The Dice of God Are Loaded, meaning that the perfect creation is ever going to be a perfect creation, and that regardless of what we do, whether we stumble or not, identity will never change, life will never die. Now, in spite of the fact that God is all and God is perfect, in spite of the fact that we are all in an agreement that God is all and God is perfect, there is a universal hypnosis which compels us in one way or another to deny that fact with our action, with our deeds, with our daily activities, in spite of the desire to honor the Father in all our ways. And then that frustration sets in, which says, here I am, doing my best, even understanding the truth, but I'm all snarled up in a lot of words and memories and quotations, in spite of the fact that I've studied so many years. How much longer must I go on striving, self-doubting, wondering what's wrong with me or with the message? Now, this has come to me quite a number of times, in spite of the fact that every week somebody will say, oh, this was a wonderful class, just marvelous. It lifted me right outside of myself. I get those statements from people just as well as I get the frustrated statements of why am I not getting where I belong. Today, we want to establish the prime reason that we are unable to attain and maintain the consciousness of the Father within. It only begins where the world actually leaves off. The world leaves off by looking for God up there. And we begin by accepting God as the very substance of my being, right here. Now that is only a beginning. Once you have accepted yourself to be the child of God, it is incorrect to assume that from that moment on, everything you do is blessed and under grace. Because that acceptance of being the child of God usually gets no further than the larynx. We have stated, I am the child of God, and now we're waiting for a halo. I still call my father, I still call my child, I still call my sister, I still call my aunt, I still have human relations, and fail to see that having human relations is a denial that I am the child of God. I have not left my mother, brother, father, sister. I am still calling a man on earth my father. I am still born of woman. I have made the statement that I am the child of God, but I still have a human mother and a human father. And so you go on living this paradox, this contradiction, and suddenly you hit your head against the wall. The acceptance isn't quite that easy. The acceptance requires the acceptance of all of the contingencies of that truth, of all of the responsibilities of that truth, so that having accepted myself to be the divine child of God, I cannot be the human child of a human parent. I cannot be living a human life. I cannot be sowing to the flesh. You're in an airplane. Everything is smooth, and suddenly there's a jar, a jolt. You know something is wrong. You look out through the right window. There's a fire in one of the motors. Plane is just rocking around crazily. Down she goes. You're plummeting down, down, down. And now you're only 1,000 feet from the ground. It seems inevitable that you're going to hit the ground. You're down to 900 and 800 and 700, and there's nothing can stop it. Nothing. And when you're almost 100 feet away from the ground, that's when we want to stop, right there, and reconsider who we are. 100 feet away is death, unless I know who I am. There's going to be a wreckage. There are going to be forms that never move again. Am I going to be a form? Or am I going to be life? Which am I? When that plane does hit, when those forms do not move again, where will I be? Will I be life, living? Or will I be form, dead? We have to reach a conclusion about that. We say God is all. Well, then God can't be a dead form. We have been told to lose our life to gain it. And we finally learned that it means lose your concept of form to accept yourself as the life of God. And finally, when that plane does crash, I am life. God, not mammon, not corporeality. I am life, and I am living just as much as before the crash of the plane. You can actually go through that inner experience of knowing I am the life and not the form. And you can see the division that is necessary in consciousness where you are prying apart the belief that life and form are one and the same. You can see form dead to outer senses, but you can see life moving invisibly, eternal. And when you are unable to accept that you are the life and not the form, you are denying that I and the Father are one. You are accepting separation. You are accepting mortality. You are rejecting that now are we the sons of God. Now are we the life of God. Now are I and the Father one and the same life. The same thing happens with the crash of a bomb. The world thinks of shattered forms. But the divine self, the life of you, is never going to be in a bomb raid. The life of you is never going to fall from the sky. The life of you will never be in an accident. The life of you will never hear about a malignancy. The life of you is always going to be perfect as your Father. Now it is important to remove the belief that beside the life of you there is something else. And to see that form is but the concept we entertain about our life. Life is our name. Form is the concept with which we clothe ourselves mentally. They can have the form, but Pilate, you can have no power over my life. This is the life of God we're speaking about. Thou seest me, thou seest the Father, the life of the Father. And finally, you reach the conclusion that you cannot serve God as human form. You can only serve God as divine life. And you identify as life. I live yet not I, said Paul. Christ liveth my life. What a strange remark. Did he mean Jesus was living his life? How could Jesus live the life of Paul? But Christ liveth my life. The Spirit of God liveth my life. Why? Because Christ and divine life are one and the same. Divine life is my life, he was declaring. You see, Paul, but this is divine life. And this divine life can support 7 churches. This divine life can spread the message over the world of truth. Paul identified as divine life. I live in form only by appearance. Divine life is what is living itself as me. This was his statement. And the Master said, lay down your sense of form. Lay down your life. That's your sense of form. To gain your life, to know who you are, divine life. And again, when the death of the form comes even naturally, without an accident from the sky or a bomb or anything of that sort. What's going to die? A concept. What's going to live? That which is ever living. Your life is going to live. Now then, why should we wait for the bomb? Why should we wait for the plane to fall down from the sky? Why should we wait for the coroner? When all we're going to learn when it happens is that I am life and my life continues to be life. Isn't this the time to be aware of it? Should we wait till we're on the other side of the veil to suddenly awaken? And once you then accept that the great teaching of the Master was that you are the light that I am, and I am the divine life. You are the divine life. Identify as that divine life, live as that divine life, reject what is not that divine life, and see. See the difference. And so suppose at the moment each of us were to take and list within our mind 2 things we lack. Human things, mortal things, 2 things that you lack. Just list them in your mind. You might have a dozen. List the 2 big ones. And then in your mind, list 2 persons. 2 persons who to you are some kind of a disturbance. Personal adversary, employer, government, whatever. And then list beside the 2 lacks, the 2 persons who disturb you the most, and also list 2 of what you consider your major problems. I've got 2 lacks, 2 disturbing persons, and 2 major problems. And now ask yourself this. Aren't those lacks, aren't those disturbing persons, aren't those problems your denial that you are divine self, that you are divine life? You quickly see that in the absence of the identification as divine life, you have no center. And being out of center, everything else must be off center. Your complete focus has to be wrong. Now there begins the pyramid of errors from that. The incorrect identification of yourself makes it impossible for you to identify anything as it is, because you're the one who's now identifying. How can illusion identify reality? And so the entire life is lived in a compounding of the original problem, incorrect identification. Now take the two lakhs. Whatever they may be, they are your denial that your life is the life of God. Because the Father says to the life of God, that is you, Son, all that I have is thine. Now where are your 2 lakhs? Your 2 lakhs are not in being that Son. You have accepted the form of you instead of the life of you. The form of you lacks those 2 things, yes. But the life of you does not lack those 2 things. All that the Father hath is in the life of you. These 2 disturbing persons, Christ wasn't disturbed by Pilate, wasn't disturbed by crucifixion. You're disturbed because, not having identified yourself as divine life, these 2 persons to you are forms, not divine life. And so the form of you is disturbed by the form of them. Proper identification would say, there goes divine life, here is divine life. And you would find the invisible power of divine life making itself manifest, because I in the midst of thee am greater than these forms. Your 2 problems, whether they're physical, social, economic, they are based upon a form as your identity. Always you discover that all of our lacks, limitations, problems, disturbances are really different names for the same one problem. We have 1 problem, 1 sin, and no more. Incorrect identification. The rejection of our divine selfhood as the invisible life of God. We refuse to say, I am the life, as Jesus did. We refuse to say, I and the Father are one life, as Jesus did. We refuse to say, Christ liveth my life, as Paul said. We do not consciously refuse. We refuse without realizing we have refused. We honor the error. We honor the evil. We honor the problem. We honor the lack. We acknowledge everything but my divine self. And in the absence of my divine self, chaos reigns. We go up and we go down. And therefore, the first step in living a life that is immune to the ills of this world, the problems of this world, the vacillations of this world, the antagonisms and the inhumanities, is to go deep within until you can know that I have been instructed by God that my life is His life, that the only life I have is divine, and if I fell in a plane crash today as a form, I would still be divine life. Neither life nor death, neither mortality nor the end of mortality can separate me from the love of God, and therefore I must be living after what is called the death of the form. The only way I can do that is to be life. God is life, and God is all, and therefore life is all, and that must be my name. Life has no death. There is no such thing as death in divine life. And all that is not divine life is non-existent. God being all, only divine life is, and that must be the only life I am. But when I accept myself to be divine life, I cannot also accept myself to be human form. I cannot be divided. I cannot be divine and not divine. Wherever you have encountered the difficulty of accepting and then standing in identity as divine life, you will discover you were suffering, and only for that reason. Ye are the light. Ye are the Christ. And the Christ is the invisible divine life of every individual who walks this earth. Once we have made our acceptance that divine life is my life, we are beginning to come under the grace of that divine life. But even though you have done that, you are still not protected by divine law. You can still be caught in all kinds of human problems, even though you believe you are divine life. You've got to give me the same privilege. You've got to give your enemy the same privilege. You've got to know everyone in your world as divine life. And that means you're taking them out of form in your consciousness. You're not sowing to the form, to the flesh. You're sowing to the spirit. You're accepting divine life as the identity of your father, of your mother, of your children, of your sister and your brother. When you have accepted their life as divine and your life as divine, you are going to see divine law functioning in your being. Why? Because when you have accepted divine life, you have found your spiritual center. When you have accepted divine life as theirs, you have found their spiritual center. And because there is only one divine life, your spiritual center and their spiritual center are one spiritual center. And everywhere in this universe, then, is your spiritual center. You have included the least of these, my brethren. And as you do it unto others, so shall it be done unto you. The judgment you are now meting out is being measured back to you. You are judging all to be the divine life of the Father. You have accepted the infinity of God, the infinity of divine life. There is no place where divine life is not. And only then have you accepted your identity, because your identity is never divine life sitting in a chair. Your identity is infinite divine life. And that is the identity of your mother, father, brother, sister. That is the identity of everyone you know, whether they know it or not. And when you have accepted your life to be infinite divine life, and know my life to be infinite divine life, we are in spiritual brotherhood. For we are one and the same divine life. I cannot judge you, nor you me, because I'd be judging myself. And then the law of divine life flows, because you are not the Son of God until you are the infinite divine life. And then, Son, all that I have is thine. Two steps, then, in your reconciliation to God. One, I am divine life. Two, I am infinite divine life. The form will move in the harmonies of that infinite divine life without taking thought. You'll know when to get a glass of water. You'll know when to get the cab or the bus. You'll know what to do and when, because I, infinite divine life, knoweth your needs. I am the kingdom of God within you. Let's find that kingdom of God this way. The kingdom of God is your divine life. It is within you, meaning it is yourself. And when you have found this divine life to be yourself and have extended the truth of that to everyone you know, that infinite divine life is the kingdom of God. It begins only in your conscious awareness that it is your divine self. It ends with your conscious awareness that it is the self of all, and you have found the invisible kingdom of God. Your spiritual center is connected throughout the universe. The power of God must function in the divine life of God that you're accepting as your own. Now, I and the Father are one infinite divine life everywhere. Now you can understand, Son, thou art ever with me. Because we're one and the same infinite divine life. Don't forget that infinite divine life. Now let's see what happens when we accept. We were told to forgive. Forgive our enemies, forgive those who despitefully use us. Why? Originally, it seemed like we were being lifted out of a kind of humanhood that would hold grudges. But you see forgiveness now as the identity of God recognized as the invisible life of that individual you're forgiving. You're not forgiving him, you're recognizing God as the invisible life of that person. That's what forgiveness means then. And as you recognize the invisible life of God as his life, it is because you have accepted that invisible divine life as your life. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We are erasing the belief in humanhood. In mortality there, in mortality here, we are truly accepting infinite divine life is the only life in the universe, as my life, as your life, as his life. Now, how do you fall out of the sky? How does a germ enter infinite divine life? By what manner does a germ kill infinite divine life? How do human problems enter infinite divine life? How do evils and errors and mistakes and miscalculations? How does lack and limitation enter infinite divine life? These things only enter the absence of the acceptance of God's word that you are my son now. And so, in order to accept I am divine life, I am infinite divine life, and so are you, you must reject all that denies it. Because we have been living in a mortal sense which, by denying individual divine life and infinite divine life, has brought us into instant karma. Instant. The moment you deny that I am divine life, you are in instant karma, and vice versa. The moment we violate the truth that the Spirit of God is the only substance, we are in the karma of separation from it through a consciousness that is unaware of it. And we look in vain for that grace which is allegedly our sufficiency in all things. But when we accept infinite life as divine, and there is no opposite, and we deny all that says there is an opposite, when we refuse to accept in consciousness the lacks, the limitations, the pains, the problems, when we can face them with the knowledge that they do not belong to me, even a bad heart cannot belong to me, because if I have a bad heart, I am accepting that I am not divine life. If I have a bad lung, I'm accepting that I am not divine life. And I'm merely perpetuating the experience of pain and suffering. I'm facing my true trial, which is saying to me, come on out here and be mortal. Give up that divine life idea and suffer a little. And I'm saying, willingly will I suffer. I'm accepting and acknowledging the heart with its problem instead of the divine life. I still believe that I have a human heart, a human liver, a human pair of lungs. Why? Because I do not believe that I am divine life. And so we still say, I accept, but go all the way. If the life of God is all and it is divine, and it is your life and my life and his life and her life, why are you afraid of an atom bomb? Who's dropping it if there's no other life to drop it? You still have the belief that it is there. Why are you afraid of a heart attack? You still have the belief that a heart is there and it can be attacked. If divine life is all, where are you going to find divine life in a human form? Is it possible to pour divine life into a human form? Do you not see that divine life is telling you there is no human form? That the universal hypnosis is that there is a human form where only divine life is. You can't have both. Both cannot exist. You cannot be divine life and human form. And the universal hypnosis is that you are human form, and therefore we sort of try to reach out and claim divine life while believing we are a human form. We all do it, and we all suffer for it, and this is the rise and fall of civilizations. The stepping out, the early fumblings and stumblings in the acceptance of divine life, grow into a certainty, an assurance, a confidence. You'd rather stumble in divine life than to be positive in a human form. And finally, we get our stabilizer. The moment we have accepted divine life, we have accepted our Christhood. We're where Paul was. I live, yet not I. This divine life is omnipotent. It doesn't need somebody to protect it. It doesn't need protection against the germ. It doesn't need a doctor's prescription. It doesn't need any human help. All that would, in any way, endanger you is part of the hypnosis of living in a human form. And the stronger your confidence in divine life as yourself, the stronger you will see your capacity to reject the need for anything to improve, correct, or repair you. Because there's nothing in you that needs repair. If you need repair, your consciousness has fallen below the level of the acceptance that the life of God is the life of you. Now then, we want to face the need for repair with that understanding. I am in incorrect self-identification. That's my error, and that's my problem. And the doctor's prescription is not going to change that problem. It may change the name of it. I will still have the problem of incorrect identification no matter what human help I receive. And if a wealthy relative leaves me a fortune, at the moment of death, I will still be in incorrect identification. And that divine life, which I have not accepted up to the moment of death, I will not be able to accept after the moment of death. I will reincarnate into the flesh because unless I am living in the acceptance of divine life before, there is no transition. Transition is only in one who has accepted, who has lived in divine selfhood prior to the moment that is called death. Every time you accept a condition on this earth that is a denial of your divine selfhood, you are rejecting the priceless gift of God. Now that should be made clear then, that the way to the crown is through the rejection of every human condition as an impossibility in my divine life. Divine life is omnipresent. Divine life is omnipotent. Divine intelligence is everywhere. Divine intelligence is here now, but only for divine life. And so when Jesus looked at Peter and said, "Who do men say am I?" And then he said to Peter, "And who do you say I am?" In that moment that Jesus could be seen by Peter as the Christ, Peter had seen for a second, "You are divine life." And doesn't that explain every miracle? Is there a single miracle that was not accomplished simply by the recognition that this cripple is not a cripple, this is divine life? It was a total re-identification of every victim. Divine life, standing as Jesus Christ, looks at a cripple and says, "You're not human life, you're divine life." And then what happens? The spiritual center of one being the spiritual center of the other, the omnipotence of divine life reveals itself. How in the world could silver be found in a fish's mouth? Except as a revelation that divine life accepted becomes the visible, needed form through grace, the life of the fish is divine. The life of I and you and him and her is divine. And the resting in that knowledge becomes the law of grace made visible. How could ravens feed a man? Except that the life of the raven and the life of Elijah are one invisible life. Divine. There was no form called raven. There was no form called Elijah. There was the one invisible life appearing to human sense as two forms, one fulfilling the other. The forms are never there. Only the invisible life is there. And when there is recognition of it, it appears as the necessary forms in whatever quantities or qualities are needed. All of the healings then in the Bible represent correct identification. The one who stands in the knowledge of divine self, who lives in the knowledge of divine self, and looks out and recognizes nothing but divine self, does nothing more than stand still and behold the revelation of divine self fulfilling itself as perfection. And therefore he could not accept credit. Why callst thou me good? Divine self doeth its own works. The Father within, he doeth the works. Now this is for us to see that the works that divine self did, the works that I do, ye shall do. Because the same divine self will do those works and greater works. Whoever will stand in the knowledge that only divine self exists will not accept the forms as life, but will know the difference between invisible divine life and visible form. And know that all form is a concept we entertain about invisible divine life. And then forgiveness is easy. There's nobody to forgive. If a man is insane, the state doesn't call him a murderer. If a man is under the influence of alcohol, it is realized that he had no responsibility for what he did. What if a man isn't there? Who are you condemning? A form? A concept? When all that is there is divine life. And therefore the condemnation, the unforgiveness, the jealousy, the hate, the greed, everything directed at that form is your denial of the life that is there. Who pays the price? You do. Your denial of divine life as being the infinite and only is the violation which plunges you back into the good and evil of the world. And so the dice of God are loaded. They're loaded for perfection. Behind every door is I knocking, 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 knocking. I stand at the door of every human consciousness knocking. And the mortal there, not knowing I stand there, goes right on denying divine selfhood, living in a sense of mortal selfhood, opening himself up to every mortal belief. While freedom stands knocking at the door. Your divine selfhood is knocking at the door of your consciousness. Your divine life is saying, accept me. For I have come that ye may have life more abundantly. And therefore, knocking at the door of your consciousness is more than just an acceptance of divine life. Those two lacks that you had, the fulfillment of them is knocking at the door of your consciousness saying, if you accept me as your divine selfhood, all that I have is thine. You are seeking to get rid of the lack, and here it is knocking at your door. You're seeking to get rid of the bad health, and here's perfection knocking at your door. Everything we have lacked and needed and wanted has been knocking at our door. It is our identity as divine self. The very things I have been seeking, I am, but I do not know. And all of my fears are based upon this false identity, which has not accepted true identity, and therefore has to go looking for the things that true identity is knocking on my door to give me. Behind every human consciousness is the self of God saying, open up and let me in. And if you fail, you come back and do it again. No matter how many times you do it again, ultimately there must come a time where you open the door, even a crevice. Just because we get tired of being hit on the head so often, we get curious enough to want to look and see what's behind the veil of mortal thought. And then we find the inundation of truth. Always, nothing can prevent the ultimate establishment of God's identity in you as you. The delaying action in time changes nothing. Before Abraham, I am, and that is the truth of your being. The dice of God are loaded because perfection is all that exists. And in divine selfhood accepted, then divine perfection becomes the acceptance in your consciousness. Whatever is imperfect is not divine, and therefore, in your consciousness, whatever is imperfect has no reality. If there's no dust on the stoop, it's silly to go out with a broom. If there's no reality in imperfection, why go out to chase it away? You stand in reality, you stand in the light, and let the light take care of removing that which it appeared to be a shadow or darkness. And therefore, in answer to the questions I've been receiving, why do I not succeed even though I try and I'm faithful and I'm honest and I'm sincere? You cannot say, I am divine self here, and turn around and say, but you are not. You can't go to the storekeeper and think he's just a menial man waiting on you. You can't think of him as overcharging or overweighing or holding the best cuts of meat from you. You've got to see that divine self takes care of itself, and that there is no second self. And if you're sowing to the physical things of the world, you must accept the physical laws of the world and suffer from them. The whole orientation, then, is to live in the conscious awareness of divine self everywhere. The realization of oneness is not just where I stand. The realization of oneness must be infinite. It's almost impossible to do this without noticing quickly that everything changes. The moment you say, I am the infinite Christ, instead of I am the Christ, you feel a broader base. You feel beyond a lifespan. You're not thinking and measuring in terms of 20, 30, 40 years. I am the infinite Christ. This doesn't begin or end at a certain place. This is the infinite Christ. Forget the master form. And now witness your own selfhood. All of the cluttering, disturbing fragments of thought, all of the little trepidations of the heart, all of the fears slowly dissolve because I, infinite Christ, lives only under the law of infinite divinity. And even if you only attain 20 or 30 or 40% of that, it's 5 million times what you had as a human being. Because we know you can't attain 100% of that as long as the world is still in its universal hypnotism. But we can go up the ladder. We can actually climb the ladder of truth. So that we start with identification as Christ, the divine self. We extend it to the next rung, which is identification of Christ as the very substance and nature of all who walk the earth. You can look at the bird. You can look at the chicken. And you can see the form isn't what's there. The form perishes. The form is transient. Don't get stuck on the form. So to the life that is there. In other words, recognize the life which is there is not even the life that apparently goes out of the form when it's dead. The life is never in that form. The life is one life. It never enters into form. The life is simply life being itself, and you are making that form. The world mind and you are collaborating to create a form where only life is. And get to sow to the life, the life, the life, independent of the form. Marvel that the life can show forth a beautiful bird or flower, but don't think that the life of God is in that bird or in that flower. Because when the heel of somebody crushes that flower, it's not going to crush the life of God. It's going to crush only the form that we have created in our mind. Get to see that the life is independent of the form, does not live in the form, but it creates for us, through our consciousness, the appearance called form. Through processes too numerous for you and I to sit down and detail out. But as you are sowing to the life, you are bringing into play the power of that life through your consciousness. And that life, through your consciousness, becomes the law of the form, the law of your heart, the law of your lungs, the law of your body, through your conscious awareness of the invisible life of all being. And then you too are saying, Pilate, you could have no power over me, because I have the life, and I recognize only the invisible life of you. And the life of you and I are one life. How can that one life have any power over itself? It needs no power. It is the only power. And you can rest right there. Now the work gets more exciting. As you do this and do this and do this, you find you're becoming independent of form. You're not trapped by it. You're not acknowledging form as a power, because you're not acknowledging form as the presence. The form can make all kinds of claims and it won't bother you one bit, because the life that is there where the form appears is your own life, and it's very friendly to you. You don't have to go running away from a ghost anymore. Everything you want to do is already done in your life. And if you will just be still and know life is perfect and is finished, it will flow through in the very forms that are needed, whatever they may be. There are no limitations to life because it is infinite. And I come quickly. The question is, are you putting up a barrier by being a human being while claiming to be the divine life? Because the divine life can never flow into a human being. It will only flow within itself. And if you are still on the hang-up of form, as a reality, as a living presence, then the message of Jesus Christ for you is a dead issue. You have crucified it in your consciousness. And there can be no resurrection until you remove that crucifixion and in turn turn around and crucify the false sense of self and let the resurrection into Christ realized become the law of your being. We have been given a world of images to walk in, and behind it is the invisible life of God, ever perfect, ever present, ever functioning, independent of everything that we do in these images. Occasionally one slips behind the veil of the images in consciousness, and lo and behold, we think he's done a miracle. And he tells us, no, I haven't done a miracle at all. You can do the same. Follow me. Do what I have done in consciousness. Accept the invisible as the divine and the only. And take no thought for your visible form life. You will discover the power of the invisible meets every need. But be true to it. Everywhere, in the least of these, my brethren. And you will find the dice of God are always loaded in your favor. Perfection must manifest where God is accepted as the only. And as Ezekiel puts it, there's an overturning and an overturning and an overturning, and that's the overturning in consciousness as we get rid of the concepts of matter, the concepts of form, until we come to that place where we can say there is only one life in the entire universe, and that life I am. He is. She is. We are all that one life, joint heirs in the one life. There is no other life than the life that I am. It is the life of God. It needs no protection. It needs no planning. It needs no repairs. And there is no other me. Then you've dragged out of the form every concept. You're all in one piece now. You're not clinging to a Christ concept on one side and a human concept on the other. You're not divided. You're not a split personality. You know you don't live in a form. And you know the form is but a cosmic image. They will never trap you in that form. And because of it, even that form in which you are not living will walk through this world untouched. Because there will be a you there, an invisible divine being, which will be the law, even unto that manifest, physically appearing form. The world is new to everyone when Christ has entered in. And the world that this atomic era has called the world ceases to have power over that consciousness which is living, moving, having its being in the realization that the divine self, I am. Now, you might find it interesting to do something. You can go through the experience of death, not actually, of course, but you can imagine this plane crashing. You will find a tremendous relief and release to feel yourself as life, independent of every human tragedy. And somehow when you do that, you're anticipating a day when just that thing will happen. When the realization of life as yourself lifts you out of the earthbound mortal who is struggling along under karma, trying to figure out how to break the karma, how to erase the karma, how to nullify the karma, how to turn each little event into his advantage. You don't turn events into your advantage anymore. You are the infinite. You simply behold your infinite self revealing itself as a better business, a better marriage, a better mother-father relationship, a better child relationship, a better human relationship. Everything that is in the infinite reveals itself as the new harmony of this human existence. Simply by standing in the knowledge that I am this life which is independent of form. Often you invent these little experiences within yourself just to go through them vicariously to release yourself from the preconcepts of the world. And they're not as strange to you later as they come along. We should reach a place where the whole concept of death is revealed as nothing more than the termination of a false image called form. It's even possible to reach the place where you can see death as a very beautiful release into your uncluttered self.